Today's podcast sponsor is the Barnard Medical Center. The Barnard Medical Center combines medical care with the latest advances in prevention and nutrition to help create a healthcare plan designed just for you.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at OrdinaryVegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions at OrdinaryVegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast number 86. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I advocate a plant-based diet for health and wellness, for the environment, and for animal welfare. And I am going to get right into it. Be prepared to be inspired today because our guest, Borough President of Brooklyn, Eric Adams, is sparking real change in food policies in his borough of Brooklyn and in the city of New York. And his life story is pretty remarkable. And oh, by the way, if you have any relatives suffering from type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, or any chronic disease, please share this podcast with them because Eric's midlife decision to reverse his diabetes through diet could convince anyone to make the same changes and take back their health. So let's get started. Here is some background on Eric. At 15 years old, Eric Adams was beaten and arrested by the police. The traumatizing incident inspired him to become a police officer to help reform New York City policing from the inside. For 22 years, he served as a policeman and was an advocate for reforming police as far back as 1995 when he co-founded 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care, which focused on police brutality and racial profiling. After serving on the force for 22 years, he retired as a captain. From 2006 to 2013, he was a state senator in the New York Senate. In 2013, Adams was elected Brooklyn Borough President, the first African American to hold the position. He is now serving his second term. You might be asking, what is a borough president? But we will get to that. In 2016, when Eric was out of the country, he experienced stomach pains and feared it was colon cancer. When he returned to America, he went to the doctor and found out his colon was fine, but that he had an ulcer and was in late stages of type 2 diabetes. This caused him to lose sight in his left eye and was slowly losing it in his right eye, making him legally blind. He even experienced nerve damage in his hands and feet from diabetes. Today, Eric will tell you his story about his struggle with chronic illness and how his illness inspired him to become a spokesman and leader in the plant-based world, and how he uses his platform to change food policies and inspire people to embrace a plant-based diet in his borough of Brooklyn and its 2.5 million people. Not only that, he just wrote a book due in October called Healthy at Last, a plant-based approach to preventing and reversing diabetes and other chronic illnesses, which outline his plant-based approach to preventing and reversing diabetes and other chronic illnesses. Oh, by the way, he is also running for mayor of New York City in 2021. So let's hear how Eric Adams took back his health in his aim to inspire people to take control of their health just like him. But before we do, I would like to thank today's podcast sponsor, the Barnard Medical Center. The Barnard Medical Center combines medical care with the latest advances in prevention and nutrition to help create a health care plan designed just for you. They have a team of board-certified physicians, nurse practitioners, and registered dietitians who provide state-of-the-art medical care and are available via telehealth to help treat and prevent diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, or other chronic conditions. Use their telehealth services to receive medical care from the comfort and safety of your own home. To set up your first appointment, call 202-527-7500. Take control of your health today and call them at 202-527-7500. They also have a 21 vegan Kickstart app, and I will put that link in today's show notes. Thank you, Barnard Medical Center. Now, let's welcome Eric Adams. Eric Adams, welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast.
Thank you so much for allowing me to join you today.
I heard you on an NPR podcast, and your story, your experience, and what you have done for the plant-based movement has been extraordinary. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today, and there's so much to talk about, but I thought we would start with your occupation, because for people who don't live in New York City, what exactly is a borough president of Brooklyn, and what are your responsibilities for the 2.5 million people who live there?
Thank you for that, and that's a question that we're asked a lot. For those who reside outside the city, the New York City has five boroughs: Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, Staten Island, and Manhattan. And Brooklyn is the largest of those five boroughs, all five counties. I would be equivalent to what a county executive is in another municipality or another city or state. And our role is to really be the ombudsman for the city, and that we, for the borough, to make sure that our constituents and residents receive their basic services and supply with all of our city agencies, because our tax dollars go into our city agencies, and our city agencies must return some form of services. And it's my job to make sure that we get our equitable distribution of resources and services. We also have an input in how our particular borough develops on the land use process. We call it a ULURP process, to determine if someone wants to build higher in the borough. It goes through our review as well. And we give out about $50 million a year in capital projects on things we would like to see happen inside the borough as well. And just day-to-day policy makings, everything from holding hearings, putting together task force, determine how to address issues that impact our municipality or our county, and having a direct contact with the other entities in the borough to make sure a smooth transition or smooth movement of the borough.
Wow, it sounds like a busy job, but you did you did find time to write a book, which is coming out in October, called Healthy at Last, A Plant-Based Approach to Preventing Diabetes and Other Chronic Illnesses. Can we talk about your story about when you became ill in 2016?
Yes, and the book is a, really a project of love. All the proceeds are going to establish health ministries and faith-based institutions to show people how to use the power of food, something that I learned at an age of 54. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes after having pain in my stomach. I thought it was actually colon cancer. And when I went to the doctor, my internist, he had me go to have my stomach and my colon checked. And after coming from under sedation, the doctor shared that I had an ulcer, but my real crisis was my type 2 diabetes. It was at a very dangerous level, my blood glucose level. And the late stages of the type 2 diabetes caused severe vision loss, actually in my left eye. I was losing my sight completely, and my right was also diminishing, as well as I was always experiencing constant tingling in my hands and feet. And my right thigh was completely numb. I couldn't feel it. I didn't know, but it was all associated to the neuropathic damage that was coming from the nerve damage. And I also had high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all of those issues that is really associated with chronic diseases. They almost come as a package. And the doctor told me that I would be on medicine the rest of my life, and I was, going to lose my sight. And it was just a very, just a dark moment for me health-wise. And as I like to say, little did I know that I was not being buried, but I was being planted to really go in a new direction around health.
So what made you start a plant-based diet? I mean, how did you find out that might help you with your type 2 diabetes?
It was fascinating because I went into the doctor's office with no medicine. I walked out with three medicines for my diabetes, including insulin, medicine for my ulcer, blood pressure, cholesterol, droplets for my eyes. I like to say by the time I walked out, I was in miniature Walgreens drugstore. And I remember like it was yesterday's, I was given a number of pamphlets that said living with diabetes. And I remember sending that to the computer. And instead of typing living with, I typed one word different. I typed reversing diabetes. And because of that Google search, it took me down a new pathway. And I found out about doctors like Dr. Esselstein, Dr. Greger, Dr. Barnard, a whole different thought process of disease reversal and the power of food. And I called Dr. Esselstein and asked him, could I come and see him? And I flew to Cleveland Clinic and spoke with him. And he told me about this amazing journey. It was almost a life raft that was thrown to me in this sea of just despair. And when I returned to the city, I immediately went through my cupboards and I saw that he was right. The food I had was processed, high salt, high sugar, high fat, high sodium. And I just threw it all out. And immediately I started that day a whole food, plant-based diet. And within 3 weeks, my vision returned. And within 3 months, diabetes went in remission, including the nerve damage, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all reversed. And that ulcer that started me in a doctor's office from the start, it just went away.
Wow. That is a wonderful story. And how did your non-plant-based internist react to you healing yourself from all these chronic diseases?
It was so funny. I remember going to his office and he did a check of my blood glucose level and pricked my finger. And he says, wow, the medicine and insulin is working. And I put the full bottle of medicine on the table and said, I never use it. I use food instead. And he was just really shocked. He says, I never heard this story before. And he would from time to time call me to speak with his patients. And he'll have me share my story with them to inspire them to change how they were eating.
Wow. I read somewhere that you also inspired your 80-year-old mother to change her diet. What were her results?
It was amazing. Mother was dealing with a lot of chronic illnesses and chronic diseases at 80. And she was 15 years diabetic, 7 years on insulin. And after 2 months of going plant-based, she was able to get off her insulin and some of her medicine. And it was just a real different approach to health. And she felt better in the process. And it's just so unfortunate that we believe we are too old to change when in fact we're not. We're not too old to change. You're never too old to change. The body wants to heal. We just have to get out of its way.
I always say that. And that story is a wonderful reminder that it is never too late to take back your health.
Yes.
Can you share a typical day of food for you and some of your favorite meals?
Oh, I have so many. And we really pointed out some of those meals in our book, Healthy at Last. In my book, we talk about that. But it's about how you break your fast. Breakfast is important. I break my fast with a smoothie made out of a cup of blueberries and kale, spinach, collard greens, a lot of green leafy vegetables, and a bowl of cut up fruits to really just get my body started and give it the nutrients it uses, its needs. And then I have some favorite meals because the day is extremely busy. And what I've learned, as I point out in the book, Healthy at Last, is the power of food prep. I do a lot of preparation at the beginning of the week. I would chop up all of my veggies that I need. So this way I can just grab a handful and put it into a stew or salad as needed. But I enjoy a nice black lentil soup. That's really one of my favorite. I liquefy black lentils in my NutriBullet, use it as the base. And I would add mushrooms, a lot of veggies, some great seasoning, because sometimes we forget about the power of seasoning and how it's extremely healthy for us. And then I would add, just different, anything from tofu to, from time to time, I'll chop up fruits and even put it in that soup because the combination of taste is amazing. I'll use salt and lemon as a, to give me that salty taste that I'm looking for. And lunch, I would do a nice pasta with nutritional yeast and pasta made out of lentils or black beans. There's some great pastas that are out there that are made from just water and the particular, beans or lentils that you would like. And I would make it with, some sauteed vegetables and something similar for dinner. Or I would, do some brown rice or some form of, solid, good, high fiber meal. And dessert is my favorite. One of my favorite desserts is a frozen dessert made out of peanut butter, frozen bananas, frozen blueberries, and just put it in my Ninja and you can mix it up. And it's just heaven on earth. I love it. And just a little cacao powder if you want to make it a chocolate taste. And it's just a great way to satisfy your sweet tooth if you have one.
Yum. So you have recipes in your book?
Yes, we do. I have a couple, several recipes because I want to show people how easy it is to prepare a good tasting healthy meal, because food must not only be good for you. There's a reason our bodies are wired with different taste sensations on our tongues. Food must look good, be good for you, and darn it, it must taste good. Uh-huh. And I want people to see that healthy is not a compromise for being tasty, and really move people in a direction of how to really control their health and enjoy the food they're eating at the same time.
As a borough president, you must be running from meeting to meeting and attending a lot of events. Do you find it difficult to maintain your healthy diet on the go? And do you have any tips for people with a busy lifestyle like you?
No, I don't. Actually, I find it extremely convenient. I would invest in some nice Tupperware canisters. I would invest in a NutriBullet, a blender, a veggie bullet, a Ninja, so that you can chop your items up. I would really tell people to use one day a week. I use Sunday, for example, to experiment with different tastes and different recipes. And once you get your core recipes, you know how to make them fast. You know how to do the food prep ahead of time. You know your go-to meals when you're in a rush. You will find that you build your life around your meals because you have to fuel your body correctly instead of building your meals around your life. I think that has been a big mistake that I made and so many people make, because when you're in a rush all the time, you stop at that fast food, you have that hamburger, that pizza, all of those things that are really counterproductive to your body. And so the goal is, how do I build a real healthy repertoire of food choices that are easy to make, healthy to make? Because remember, the bulk of my meal is raw, so I'm not waiting for cooking time all the time. I'm basically just combining all of those healthy, good, colorful foods that comes right from Mother Earth. And it's just a great way to move throughout the day without feeling overstressed.
Did a plant-based lifestyle change you as a person?
Yes. I think that often we disconnect our mental state from our physical state. And the same bad food that clogs our arteries, they clog the arteries in our brain. And one of my good friends, who is a doctor that deals with dementia and Alzheimer's, they've done great research showing the connectivity between the destruction of our arteries and how it destroys our brain. But a plant-based lifestyle has really centered my existence. A greater appreciation for Mother Nature, a greater appreciation for life itself. The level of peacefulness and calmness of, you know, not putting toxic foods in my body. I just find that I'm at a different peaceful state and a greater appreciation for all living kinds as well as animals. And I just think that the transformation is more than just reversing my diabetes, but it's just reversing the toxic outlook that we seem to have on life often.
You are famous for being a food policy maker. Can you share with us some of the many food policies you have instituted as Brooklyn's borough president?
We're really excited about some of the things that we're doing, everything from the meatless Mondays that we have put in place in our schools and our hospitals and our jails facilities. We're proud of pushing the city towards no longer purchasing processed meat, which is a type 1 carcinogen. We don't serve it in our schools anymore. A 50% reduction in the purchase of beef. I believe eventually we're going to move to 100%. We are pushing to get dairy out of our schools and use alternatives like oat milk and almond milk and other healthy substitutes. We're reforming how do we feed people in hospitals and other city agencies as we're pushing an agenda to make sure the food that our city agencies are feeding people during a time of crisis is healthy food. And looking at how during the COVID-19 crisis, we were extremely successful in partnering with some of our local pantries and giving people who are in need of meals, giving them healthy foods to consume. Because when you look at 90% of the people who are hospitalized and 90% of the people who died from COVID-19 had pre-existing conditions or comorbidities. And our goal is to show that we can strengthen the immune system by giving people the healthy food that they need and they deserve.
Wow, that's wonderful. The role of meat and dairy derived from animals is part of many people's cultures, and you have a lot of cultures there in Brooklyn, I imagine. How do you inspire that 2.5 million people in Brooklyn to stop eating meat when it's part of their fabric, you know?
And that is so true. And yes, and we are diverse. 47% of Brooklynites speak a language other than English at home. So that's almost 50% of the borough, and many of us believe it is 50% of the borough. And so the goal is as in the book Healthy at Last points out, we should start giving people information and education around why are we eating the foods that we're eating, and what is the real origin of the rich cultures of all of our various groups here in the city and in the borough. Much of the food we eat is connected to a colonial past where people were forced to eat these foods. And we want to show what is the real culture of people and how it's connected to healthy food. And that is something I pointed out to the African-American community in our definition of soul food. But also, we fully understand the team. We know that people are, when they eat a meal, it is not only of the food they're eating, but they also eating, or they also dealing with the relationship they have with that food. There's no secret that, you know, that cake you eat could be the cake that your mother gave you when you scraped your knee, or that hot dog could be something that you enjoyed with your dad at the baseball game. So what we are doing is showing people through our quarterly meetup to show people how to eat healthy food, prepare healthy food, get the taste you're looking for, and really give people a how-to of making that transition from those what we consider to be culturally norm foods to show what is really their culturally norm foods and engage people in a real way. Instead of having just a piece of pizza, you could have a vegan pizza made out of cauliflower crust. And instead of having a hamburger made out of beef, you can make a great hamburger made out of lentils and mushrooms and flour, whole wheat flour. So we want to show people a bean burger. You can get the taste without having the terrible side effects.
So you are running for mayor of New York City in 2021. If you are elected, what kind of food policies would you strive for, and how hard would they be to implement in the largest city in the United States with 8.3 million people?
It is going to be a challenging task, but people thought it was impossible that we can get processed meat no longer served in our city. I believe that the possibilities are here because people want to heal, and we are going to become one of the most healthy cities in America, if not across the globe. We're going to do everything from looking at how do we do rooftop gardens to supply our various agencies that feed foods to residents. We're going to move forward in banning the processed meats and the beef in our city purchases using our procurement dollars. We're going to start transitioning in healthy milk choices or healthy drinking choices. We're going to remove all the vending machines products that are unhealthy. The goal is, as mayor, we are not going to feed the crisis. And right now we're doing that. Although we look at the numbers about the healthcare crisis in our city, our state, the reality is that we're feeding that crisis, and we're going to turn that around and stop feeding the crisis, but really changing how we deal with healthcare and food and the relationship with food. We're going to revamp our health and hospital, expand out our program of lifestyle medicine, not only in Bellevue, but every hospital in this city and health and hospital system, one of the largest hospital systems in the country. People should have options. You know, we should not only have options on what type of surgery or medicine you want, but we should have options on what type of treatment. And one of those treatments should be lifestyle medicine. And so we're going to reshape how we access food, grow food, distribute food, and use food to empower everyday New Yorkers.
There are about 70 legally operated live animal markets in New York City, known as wet markets. And it's believed that COVID-19 is a zoonotic disease that started in a wet market in China. If you are mayor, would you try to shut them down?
With several things we would do, and we have already started the conversation around wet markets based on the unhealthiness of it. And in our city, We have two groups that really are attached to wet markets, philosophy and thoughts. That is the large Hasidic population and the Muslim population. And so our goal is to find ways of not having any new wet markets made in the city or open in the city. And second, see how we partner with these groups to go about satisfying their religious beliefs without having this dangerous environment of a wet market in our city. In this city, we are extremely sensitive about impacting the religious beliefs and practices of people in New York City because of the diversity of various religions. And it's about engaging in a dialogue, something I have started already. How do we accomplish the task and still allow people to carry out their religious beliefs? And I believe there's a way we can do it, but it is about sitting down and having real honest dialogue with the groups, showing them the dangers of wet markets and see how we can transition out of it.
Well, the time is winding down, so I guess the last thing I wanted to ask you about is our current crisis. Here in the United States, we are going through painful times, and the coronavirus crisis is dividing our nation, and sadly, it's turned into a sort of a us or them situation. I heard you speak about seeking out people who are not like us and engage them in conversation. Would that begin the healing? And do you have any other advice for these bleak times? And of course, I would love you to talk about your 100-point list.
Yeah, we have engaged in something called Breaking Bread, Building Bonds. It is 100 dinners we would like to hold around the city where people can sit down either virtually or in person from different cultures. Each dinner is made up of 10 people. No two people come from the same cultural, ethnic, or religious background, and it fosters an atmosphere of communicating outside our comfort zones. We have continued to do that after COVID-19, doing it virtually, and has been extremely successful, and we want to continue in doing so. In regards to the 100-point list, I'm a big believer that we must be intentional about giving back. I think the universe has a bank that if we want to have the equity from what we do and draw on that, we have to deposit in that bank in a very real and conscious way. So I have a list of 100 points that I don't go to bed at night until I have fulfilled those 100 points. And whatever is the difference, I put the money in a jar and I donate it to a nonprofit of some sort. And those 100 points are simple. Holding the door for someone could be 2 points. Saying good morning to someone I don't know, I get a point. I'm buying a meal for someone that is in need, I would get 4 points. And so at the end of the night, I take the accumulation of the points I put in my phone or that I wrote down, and I add them up. If it comes to only 80 points, I'll put $20 into the jar. If it comes to 95 points, I'll put $5 into the jar. And then at the end of the week, I would donate whatever is the accumulation of points I didn't make into some form of nonprofit or give back to a person that's in need.
What a great idea. I'm going to steal that idea.
I am happy you are, because part of the point system is to spread that idea to others. So you just gave me 10 points because I got you to do it.
Well, that's it. Thank you so much for your amazing work and for being so inspirational. We so appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Be well.
Be well.
That is it for today's podcast. You can pre-order Eric's book, Healthy at Last, A Plant-Based Approach to Preventing and Reversing Diabetes and Other Chronic Illnesses, on Amazon. I will put a link in this week's show notes. Thank you to the Barnard Medical Center for sponsoring this week's podcast. To learn more, call 202-527-7500. For recipes and inspiration, follow me on Instagram at Ordinary Vegan and Facebook, facebook.com/Ordinary Vegan. Additionally, you can find my new cookbook, the Easy 5-Ingredient Vegan Cookbook, and my organic vegan line of CBD products on my website, ordinaryvegan.net. Also, please share this podcast so our community can grow. And if you have time, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. The more reviews we receive, the better chance of spreading the compassion, one plant-based meal at a time. Please stay strong and stay well. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.